good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hi, Buju Anin, everybody. Today, Robert Pilot and Wendy Pilot are off for their anniversary. So you have me, Ogama Ganuakwe, and Dr. Anthony Stately hosting the show. Welcome to Native Roots Radio again, Dr. Stately. Thanks so much for standing in for Robert.
Well, Buju, everyone, thank you so much, Ogama, for the welcome and the introduction. I appreciate it. I'm so privileged to be here in this important conversation we're going to have today.
Absolutely. So before we get started, I just want to let everybody know that this portion of the show is brought to you by the Native Roots Trading Post, which is in downtown Minneapolis, and the physical location will be closing at the end of June, but will be popping up again at the Minnesota State Fair later on this summer. So keep your eyes peeled for that when the State Fair starts up again. And today we are going to be talking with Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunish about the recent overturn of Roe versus Wade. And Dr. Anthony Stately also invited Marissa Cummings from the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center to discuss this with us as well. Today, I wanted to kick off with some facts and some history on what's happening with the overturning of the historic Roe versus Wade ruling. So if you have not yet heard, today the Supreme Court in a 5-4 decision officially announced that they have overturned the historic Roe versus Wade ruling. The decision federally protected access to health care in the form of abortion during the first two trimesters of pregnancy. So since January 22nd, 1973, people have had the federally protected right to obtain health care in the form of abortion services. And now about 50 years later, women's rights and healthcare rights for all persons have been completely sent backwards. Right, Dr. Stately?
Oh my gosh. We have we've gone backwards on this and so many other issues just in that one ruling. It's going to undermine so many individuals' rights. That's really what this is. This is an attack on individual rights.
So. That is exactly it. So today, the Supreme Court, basically, they upheld a Mississippi abortion law, the state of Mississippi, that imposed a really strict, much stricter restrictions on the procedure than those were allowed by the 1973 decision in Roe versus Wade, and then overturned Roe versus Wade altogether. They also overturned another case from the 1990s that made clear that there was a constitutional right to abortion. And what Dr. Stately is saying and what is true is that abortion bans violate autonomy and bodily integrity, and they are deeply inequitable. Who's going to be the most affected by this abortion restrictions and the overturn of Roe versus Wade, Dr. Stately?
Well, I think it's fairly evident from like research and data nationally that it's going to have its greatest impact on people, on women who are Black, Indigenous, and other women of color. Overwhelmingly, those are the individuals that use a lot of the reproductive health services that are funded through like Planned Parenthood and those kinds of clinics. And then also who need to oftentimes seek abortion services for all kinds of reasons, you know, and we're going to talk about those reasons today during the show. I think the other thing that is really important to say about this specific ruling is that it is lays the foundation through some of the remarks that were made by Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and a few other of his colleagues, that these are attacks on individuals' rights to healthcare, to decisions about their own lives. I think it lays the foundation for attacks in the future on gay rights, trans folks, all those other kinds of things are sort of also about to fall. And I think, it lays the foundation for attacks on other kinds of things too, like sovereignty at some point. So we're going to talk about those things today during our show with our guests. And these are really, really critical times. And thank you all for tuning in. And please share this link today with your relatives all across Turtle Island, because you know, the fight is real and it's time to, you know, lift up your voices. And
Chief Justice, Court Justice Clarence Thomas today said that other rulings, such as ones that established gay rights and contraception, should be reconsidered now that the federal right to abortion has been revoked. His exact quote from CSNBC was, he wrote that those rulings were demonstrably erroneous decisions. And the cases that he specifically mentioned were Griswold versus Connecticut, which was a 1965 ruling in which the Supreme Court said married couples have a right to obtain contraceptives. Lawrence versus Texas, which was a 2003 case that established the right to engage in private sexual acts. And the 2015 ruling Obergefell and Hodges, which said there is a right to same-sex marriage, also known as marriage equality. And he basically recommended that the Supreme Court reconsider that trio of decisions. And that doesn't really have the force of legal precedent, and it doesn't necessarily compel the other Supreme Court justices to do such a thing, but it opens the door for conservative lawmakers to continue what they did in this case, which is that they run afoul of the Supreme Court's past decisions. So, but basically what they do is they pass restrictive abortion laws, they pass restrictive laws related to things like gay marriage or contraceptive, and then they hope that the challenge would reach the Supreme Court, and in this case, open the door for federal rights to be overturned as a whole. And that is exactly what happened here, and that is what conservative lawmakers in individual states are working towards with this passing of legislation. Right now, what we're looking at is 22 states previously had laws or constitutional amendments that were already in place and could quickly be used again to try to ban abortion as a result of the decision today. And the laws that had bans on abortion already in place before Roe versus Wade could basically just be put back into effect. And other states have what's called a trigger law, which would ban abortion in the event that Roe versus Wade was overturned by the high court, which it was today. So there's about a dozen states that also plan to ban abortion after 6 weeks, which is effectively a ban on the procedure, according to most abortion rights activists, because people are most of the time unaware that they are pregnant by that time. 6 weeks is very, very early in a pregnancy. It's very hard to know that you are pregnant by that time. Some other things I wanted to talk about today, too. I'm just kind of foregoing the regular news in light of this, because this will change so many things for so many people. But according to Planned Parenthood, the kind of people that get abortions in the United States are mostly women, right? But they say 1 in 4 women will need or obtain an abortion by the age of 45. So that's 25% of women, and 50% of abortions are obtained by women who already have children. And 45% of people who receive abortion care were married or living with their partners, meaning the people that are getting abortion care are not what the anti-abortion activists would have us to believe they are. And the other important thing to understand about abortion care as health care is that it is very safe in clinic, and medicated abortions are very safe, and they're one of the safest procedures that you can have as a human being. There is a very rare risk of serious complication, and only when it's not treated does it usually become deadly, if that's even something that happens. And there's little to no risk to your ability to have children in the future. It doesn't increase your risk for breast cancer, and it doesn't cause mental health or depression issues. And in fact, carrying an unwanted pregnancy will attribute significantly to your mental health issues. And they don't cause infertility. I mean, these are all things that people don't really realize are untrue. So it looks like we've got Mary Kunish on with us for the next segment. Thank you, Dr. Stately, again for coming on and co-hosting today. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we are talking about the ban on the overturnal of the Roe versus Wade in the Supreme Court today, and what the effects of a possible abortion ban would be on Native people. So coming up more after the break.
Yeah. Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
The Met Council Housing Redevelopment Authority is adding people to its waiting list for rental assistance. Rent is up to 40% of what you make, and you decide where you want to live. Sign up before June 28th at noon, as 2,000 applicants will be randomly selected for the waiting list. Go to waitlistcheck.com/metro to sign up. That's waitlistcheck.com/metro before Tuesday at noon. Again, waitlistcheck.com/metro.
Hey, Olgama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hello, today this is Ogoma Ganuakwe and Dr. Anthony Stately hosting for Robert and Wendy as they are off for their anniversary. Happy birthday again to you. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Today we are discussing the Supreme Court of the United States overturned Roe versus Wade decision, and Dr. Stately has two very, very educated guests to introduce to everybody tonight.
Yeah, educated and powerful Indigenous women. So I'm really proud and privileged to introduce Senator Mary Knish from the Minnesota State Senate. And I think you're in Washington, D.C. right now. Is that true?
Yeah, yeah, so she, I am.
Yeah, so she's going to be reporting from the front lines of the fight. and I also want to introduce Marissa Cummings. She is the executive officer and the president of the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. And I'll let her talk about her work as well. So let's take it away and ask Senator. You're in D.C. What's the reaction looking like out there in D.C.? Are there, women revolting in the street? I mean, marching in the streets yet? We need like women and men and children and dogs and cats, everybody to show up on the front steps of that that Supreme Court and the White House and protest. This is crazy.
Yeah, it was sort of strange. I was in a meeting here in DC. I came out here to attend the American Library Association conference. Mm. I know that sounds pretty geeky, but I was very, very excited for it. I also sit on the American Indian Library Association. So we were going to be doing, some strategy out here. And I was in a meeting with one of the appointees that Biden has, and my phone just started to, you know, ping, 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 ping like crazy. And I was with Dr. Holly Mackey. I don't know if any of you know her from North Dakota. She's with the U.S. Department of Education. I think equity, diversity and equity for American Indians in education. That's kind of her thing out here. And I looked at my phone and it was just, like they say, blowing up with emails and messages. And it's just been really unsettling in so many ways. At first, I think people were sort of stunned. I mean, there were those that expected it, but then, you know, the regular folks like us just didn't realize it was going to come down today. I think we were expecting it next week. And so initially, there wasn't a lot of noise or commotion on the streets. But when I finished my meeting with Dr. Mackey, we went outside and went over near the Supreme Court building, and people were starting to gather, but they already had it blocked off and were anticipating, you know, large groups. And I think that's over the rest of the day, it started to grow and grow and grow and grow. And I know there will be rallies tonight.
Yeah. I should correct my language from earlier. I'm not suggesting that people storm any capitals or anything like that. Like, we've already had one debacle of that nature. I'm suggesting that people show up and use their voices and send their voices strongly and vociferously to the Supreme Court and also to the legislature, to the Congress, and to the White House, that this is too much. We've gone too far here, because it lays the foundation for so many other things to sort of kind of become problematic and attacking of personal rights and individual rights to make decisions about their bodies, about the way that they live, who they love. Those kinds of things. These are critical foundational laws that have protected the rights of individuals for so long that it's a little bit too much over the line, I think.
Yeah.
Marissa, your thoughts on today's decision, and what's it going to look like for the work that you do at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center?
Yeah, hello everyone. Thank you, Tony. I was expecting it as well. I knew that this was coming down because it was leaked earlier. And my first reaction is it's starting, right? It starts with one thing and then it kind of snowballs. And so when you saw Clarence Thomas's remarks and he's saying that we need to look at same-sex marriage, we need to look at, you know, personal, what's going on in people's houses, like, we know that there's much more at stake. And then we also know that ICWA is coming up before the Supreme Court. And ICWA, it seems like it's just ICWA, but it's much more than ICWA. It's literally a threat to our sovereignty, right? Saying that we're race-based and we don't have a political status then eliminates our sovereign and treaty rights. And so I think we're entering a really scary time. Like, when I say like fascist theocracy, like, I'm not saying that lightly. Like, those terms we're used to in academia, and we're used to these terms thinking of other places and other countries, but this is what we're talking about. Like, it's fascist, it's rooted in settler colonial mindset, which is rooted in the doctrine of discovery and Christian doctrine. It does not match with our indigenous beliefs of free will. It does not match with our ideas of having inherent sovereignty over our bodies. And it's not about whether anyone's, you know, about for abortion or against abortion. It's not about that debate. It's about women's right to choose and people having the right to choose that are non-Christians and non, you know, people that don't believe the same way as others. And what they're doing is controlling people's rights. So as far as the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, we'll continue to work with our women. We'll continue to meet them where they're at. We will continue to support them in whatever ways they need. But it's a really interesting time that we're in. But I also think that our ancestors have been through worse and will continue to fight. I mean, we really have to just join together right now. And we need that unification of not just our communities, but other communities that have been oppressed as well. But I just see it as an extension of settler colonial violence. And we have to stop pretending like this country wasn't founded on it. Because it was, and this is just another extension.
Yeah, those are good reminders. And I think one of the things that clearly is an indication of is like how far right, the pendulum has swung, right, in terms of our, and it's interesting to me that, like, so many of the things that you see written in the news about this issue, the overwhelming majority of the United States population is in favor of abortion and the access to abortion services for women, for pregnant women who do not want to carry their pregnancy to term, for all kinds of reasons. There's all kinds of reasons why those things are true. And I don't want to necessarily get that down deep into the conversation, although I think it's important to recognize that. But I also think that, you know, the we mentioned earlier before you got on that the majority of women that will be impacted significantly and greatly by this specific decision to overturn Roe versus Wade is going to be Indigenous women, Black women, other women of color, very poor women, women who don't have access to, resources to be able to provide them with additional recourses for their situations, no matter how what those look like. We obviously know that this is going to be much more impactful for those women. We also know that the majority of abortions are not sought by women who are, the scare tactics of the right, young teenage women who are pregnant, who, make mistakes and those kinds of things, all the stuff, all the narrative that they sort of use to scare us into sort of thinking like, this is a reasonable decision. The majority of women that seek abortions are women who already have children, women who are, have little resources for raising an additional child. And there's all kinds of other things that sort of are in that sort of decision-making process. And I think the scariest thing about this entire thing, really, quite frankly, for me, as a man, and I'm going to be completely, I do not have a uterus. I don't, have the ability to carry a baby or bring one to term. But I am a father, and I am a father of young men, and I'm a uncle and a grandfather and a brother and a sister of women who are who have reproductive capacity, and it scares me that they will not be able to have choice. Right, it scares me, but it also infuriates me. I'm very, very upset and angry about this.
Absolutely, Dr. Stately, and I'm mother and auntie and all of those things as well. So we'll have a little bit more on this discussion. Again, we're talking about Roe versus Wade and the implications of that on Native people right after the break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We are here with Minnesota State Senator Mary Kanesh and the president of the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, Marissa Cummings. Come back with us after the break.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Met Council Housing Redevelopment Authority is adding people to its waiting list for rental assistance. Rent is up to 40% of what you make, and you decide where you want to live. Sign up before June 28th at noon, as 2,000 applicants will be randomly selected for the waiting list. Go to waitlistcheck.com/metro to sign up. That's waitlistcheck.com/metro before Tuesday at noon. Again, waitlistcheck.com/metro.
Hi, Minnesota. This is David Pakman, and you can catch my show weekdays at 2 p.m. for the latest in political news on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
We use technology every day to help manage our lives. Why not use it to help manage your medications? St. Paul Corner Drug offers several free tools to keep you on track while taking your medications. Use our mobile app to quickly order a refill, or the MedsOnQ application, which turns your smartphone or tablet into your very own personal medication attendant. Email and text messaging options let you know when your medication is ready for pickup, making efficient use of your time. St. Paul Corner Drug, pharmacy the way it should be.
Crooner's Supper Club is back after an exciting renovation. Enjoy a delicious dinner, fabulous cocktails, and music from top-name local and national artists in the newly renovated Crooner's. With its new dining room and bar, Maggie's Lounge, expanded seating in the main stage, and updated COVID safety measures. Located just north of 694 off Highway 65, make your next night out with Crooner's Supper Club, a little piece of old-school nightlife in the 21st century. More at croonersmn.com.
If you're like most people, you've probably noticed your energy bills are going up and going up fast. Unfortunately, that's not likely to change anytime soon. So if high utility bills have you seeing red, see green instead by locking in an energy rate with All Energy Solar. Switching to All Energy Solar gives you peace of mind knowing your energy costs won't be rising along with fossil fuel costs. Solar panels last 25 to 30 years, giving you a good idea of where your energy is coming from for decades to come. Plus, a system from All Energy Solar could save you even more with net metering. With net metering, extra energy generated by your solar panels is sent back into the energy grid in exchange for credit on your electric bill. Those credits pay for your energy use on days when solar production is low or your electricity use is high. So declare your independence from the fossil fuel industry by switching to All Energy Solar. Get a free, no obligation assessment from All Energy Solar by calling 800-620-3370 or visiting allenergysolar.com.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Showers and thunderstorms late tonight with a low of 70. More showers and thunderstorms during the day on Saturday with a high of 81. Hazel's Northeast offers the most creative comfort food you'll find for any meal of the day. Hazel's is located at 29th and Johnson in Minneapolis, minutes from 35W. More at hazelsnetogo.com.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hello, bonjour, everybody. This is Ogama Ganuakwe with Dr. Anthony Stately for Robert Wendy Pilot as they are away on vacation today. We're here with Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunesh, who is live from Washington, D.C. today. And we also have Marissa Cummings, who's the president of the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. Before Dr. Stately takes it away, I just want everybody to know that this portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Ooh, yes, thank you, Ogama. So one of the things I kind of wanted to talk about is like, what do we imagine or what do we think is going to be the real lived experience and the impact of Indigenous women across Turtle Island based on this decision? I'm thinking like having a conversation about the impact on their health, their safety, their well-being. I think that and it connects to so many things. It's not just about abortion. I think there's all these other things that people haven't really thought about. Like, it also impacts access to birth control and all kinds of other things that Native women, Indigenous women, and other vulnerable women across the United States are gonna have some significant challenges. But talking about Indigenous women in tribal communities and also 70% of Native women Native people live in urban centers as well. So let's talk a little bit about what we think is going to, this impact is gonna have on their lived experience around their health and their safety. Marissa, do you have any thoughts or ideas about that?
I do. So I've been thinking about the same thing. And I think what this is a time for us to really resort to our traditional medicines and traditional birthing, traditional teachings around carrying children and what that looks like, because we had our own medicines. And I'm not going to go into more detail, but we had ways of taking care of our women. And that was women who did that, women who knew those medicines and how to care for ourselves. And so I think that, you know, we exist within, of course, this mainstream society that's rooted in patriarchy, but it's so different than our traditional ways of being. The way, you know, I understand why it's happening. If we look at even European history and culture, right? Like men own their wives, men own their children. Women didn't have access to birth control because it was a means of controlling women. And I don't think Native women see it exactly that same way. We don't see our ability to give birth. I don't have a uterus anymore either, Dr. Stately, so we're on the same, plane there.
Sisters or sisters.
But I did have one. And so, you know, the way we view life, the way we view the continuation of life, and these decisions is very personal, very private, and it's very individual in terms of people's communities that they come from. As far as access to healthcare, you know, a lot of our people are very wary of systems because those systems often fail them. And healthcare is one of those systems that our people often, that's why we have places like the NAC and IHB for our people to go to and receive services that are more culturally specific. So I think that this is just going to be another barrier to our women receiving the adequate healthcare that they need. But it also makes me think about how can we return to some of those traditional ways of doing things to provide that level of access and care to our women, and then also work as advocates with them. We know that here in Minnesota, it's not now, it doesn't look like it's going to affect us as much, but we're surrounded all by states that it will. So North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, Wisconsin will most likely all have abortion outlawed. And so what is that going to look like for relatives coming into the state seeking care? And so those are just some of my thoughts that I've had so far, but I'll turn it over to Senator Kunesh.
Yeah. Senator Kunesh, your thoughts and your ideas specifically about, like, what do you think this is going to, how this is going to impact Minnesota specifically? We're in the midst of an election coming up. The Republicans, I think, have in the state, some of the Republican Party have been really clear about what they would want to do to challenge the right to abortion in the state of Minnesota if they get control of both chambers. In the legislature, and even maybe possibly at the governor's office as well. Like, what are we looking forward to? I mean, what are we looking at coming down the pike?
Well, you know, every election we say this is the election of your lifetime. This is the most important election that we've ever had, and I think this is it. This is where we have to make that decision about who we're going to allow to make decisions on reproductive rights and so many other rights that we hold now that are soon to be gone. And let's, you know, when you think about it, at least two generations of women have had access to abortion and their own reproductive practices. And all of a sudden, those are going to be gone. We know that our Native women have some of the highest numbers of violence, sexual violence against them, that you know, oftentimes will result in a pregnancy. I mean, I myself, as a teenager, was violated, and it turned out to be an ectopic pregnancy, which can be, you know, a death sentence to women. And And if it wasn't for Planned Parenthood, my sister took me there. We had nowhere to go. We had no idea what to do. I lived in a very conservative town. My parents were ultra Catholic. We'd been threatened if anybody got pregnant outside of marriage, of things that, you know, estrangements and whatnot. This is what we're up against again, you know, the secrecy. And when Marissa mentioned that we are surrounded by states that are quickly, outlawing the right to an abortion, that means Minnesota will be an island in the middle of it, which means that we will have our Native women, other women flocking to Minnesota for their reproductive care. And we don't have the capacity right now. We don't have the capacity now, and we can't just throw up a bunch of clinics and have the ability to address those issues with each one of them. And so I think we're going to find ourselves in a place where women are really suffering even more with mental health issues. They will have that burden of family responsibilities that they weren't prepared for. Marissa mentioned ICWA, Indian Child Welfare Act, that is under attack. Well, our kids are taken, Native kids are taken from their families at the highest rate of any other group of people, and Minnesota is the highest. Mm-hmm. So I'm really worried about these unplanned pregnancies that are going to result in our Native kids being removed from their families again. So it's history repeating itself in so many ways. And it's not just access to abortion. You know, there are many states that are talking about outlawing contraception at all. No contraception is allowed. So if you have an IUD or you're using, other than natural, rhythm method, you could be outlawed. And then they're going to allow people or give people rewards for turning their friends and their family members in. It's going to get so very ugly. And our communities are already under so much duress and so much pain. The thought of adding even more layers to it is really, really discerning.
Yeah, it is a really scary time. And I'm, pulling on that thread that you were just talking about, for me, it really does, like, as you're talking, I'm thinking, oh my God, this is like this is like practically going back to like 100 years ago when there were bounties on our heads and those kinds of things, like, paying people to turn us in, paying people to exterminate us, paying people to drive us from the borders of Minnesota and the like. Those are things that we sort of dealt with, our ancestors have dealt with, right? And here we have this right on our front doorstep right now today. And I wanted to point out that I was reading an article earlier and we were talking about if our listeners don't understand the real world impact on Indigenous women across the land, I think, and tribal communities, and a significant number of our women go missing, Native women and other relatives go missing. They are murdered. They're sexually assaulted at much higher rates than the rest of the population of the United States. A lot of our women and a lot of our Two-Spirit relatives as well are trafficked. Women specifically who are at risk of becoming pregnant, sometimes traffickers do not allow those women to use condoms. I almost said condominiums, but that would be interesting. They need housing, by the way. We should give them condominiums and condoms both. Just parenthetically stating that. But the point being is that, that places our women and potentially the rest of our communities at tremendous, tremendous risk for some really, really poor health outcomes and some other dangerous things to happen. So we need, to wake up. This is what we'd say in the show. It's I'm awake. Now that we're awake, we have to also use our voices and get to the voting booths and do something about this because the health and the well-being of our women and our children and our nations are at risk with this decision.
Yeah, it's really women's autonomy that's at risk. It's taking, you know, 20, 40, 50 steps backwards. And I just, I'm just very, very concerned. And so, yes, elections are going to matter this coming fall. You mentioned that the majority of folks, especially in Minnesota, feel that it's a woman's right to choose. And we need to choose the right folks to represent us in that manner.
Absolutely.
This is Ogamaganuakwe, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Today we are with Senator Mary Kunish and the president of the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, Marissa Cummings, as well as our host, Dr. Stately, today discussing on the overturn of Roe versus Wade. You can come back with us after the break for one more round of discussion with our guests and Dr. Stately. Stay tuned.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
The Met Council Housing Redevelopment Authority is adding people to its waiting list for rental assistance. Rent is up to 40% of what you make, and you decide where you want to live. Sign up before June 28th at noon, as 2,000 applicants will be randomly selected for the waiting list. Go to waitlistcheck.com/metro to sign up. That's waitlistcheck.com/metro before Tuesday at noon. Again, waitlistcheck.com/metro.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Bijou. I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio. I'm Ogamaganuakwe here with Dr. Anthony Stately. We're standing in for Robert and Wendy Pilot today. They are away on vacation. As is customary on Native Roots Radio for the last segment of the show, we always like to talk about how this show is brought to you by the Howling for Wolves Center, which are protecting wolves for future generations. And we howl. Are you willing to howl with us, Marissa?
It's a really good day to howl, man.
It's a good day to howl. Let it all out. Are we ready?
I think I was muted. I just howled on mute.
Oh, you just howled on mute. Okay. All right. So this portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Oh. And we are here with Minnesota Senator Mary Kunish, as well as the president of the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center in Minneapolis, Marissa Cummings. We're discussing the effects of Roe versus Wade being reversed today on what on the Native community here. And I just want to remind our listeners too, if this is an issue that's important to you, or if you've ever heard us talk about an issue that's important to you on Native Roots Radio, if you can, swing over to our Patreon at patreon.com/Native Roots Radio Network and donate to us if you can. We'll give you an on-air shout out and any little bit helps. Go ahead, Dr. Stately.
Yeah. So on our break, I was thinking, your comments about like the impact of, like Minnesota is going to be an island with all these sort of states around us. And, I run a healthcare center and we're a safety net healthcare center, Native American Community Clinic here, right on the American Indian Culture Corridor in Minneapolis. And, the last 2 years with the effect and the impact of COVID-19 on our community, but also on our health systems, we are going to be overwhelmed when people start to come to Minnesota, or they start coming to like my clinic and Indian Health Board, probably other safety net clinics across the state, because we are so just clawing our way back from the impact that the pandemic has had on us. This decision could not come at a worse time. There's a part of me that feels like they tactically decided to do this at this moment in time, when we have one hand tied behind our back and we're on our knees, that's when they decide to do something of this nature. And that to me is sounds a lot like settler colonial policy, so I want to encourage all of our listeners and to talk to your relatives and talk to people who are important in your lives and encourage them to sort of kind of get into this conversation, have these conversations with your families and your friends and your relatives and your colleagues about why it's important to sort of resist this type of infraction into individual and personal rights. So, and I certainly intend to do that as a private citizen. And as long as I'm the CEO and executive officer of, and president of this clinic and this organization, we are going to be squarely in this fight. So, ladies makes you sound like you're like 100 years old. Sorry, apologize for that. Young women, your lasting thoughts on this issue. And I certainly want to point out that I hope that this is our first conversation about this. We are going to be talking about this a lot, and I'm going to keep bringing it up. So your lasting impressions about the, where we go from here, what's the next steps? Your thoughts. Who wants to take it away?
I keep thinking about this episode of Handmaid's Tale, and it keeps going through my head. It's the episode that's a flashback, and it shows when she tried to go get birth control pills. Mm-hmm. And she went to the pharmacy, and they asked where her husband's signature was, because her husband was having to sign off on her getting her birth control pills. Mm-hmm. And there were other things that were kind of simultaneously happening, like women had to get men's signature to get banking accounts again. Mm-hmm. So there was this gradual, taking of rights for women, mm-hmm. that led to this movement. And that movement, although it was rooted in Christian doctrine, it's essentially about power and control. Christian doctrine is just used for power and control. And that's what I feel like is starting to happen in our society now. And so it really is, it's interesting that film came out when it did and the book came out when it did. And I know the book was actually based on something else, but it's important for us to think about how our health insurance will be affected, how all of these things play a part and they work together and they're interconnected and braided. And so, it's just time for us to start having open conversations to take care of each other. Because you mentioned COVID, where our community is absolutely overwhelmed with mental behavioral health and all of the other systemic issues that we have as a result of colonialism. We're overwhelmed. And so this is just one more thing that's almost like it's a genocidal practice, right? Like if we completely overwhelm a people to the point where they can't function, it's successful because we mm-hmm. can't concentrate on our culture, language, community. So it's important for us, I think, to center ourselves in culture, in ceremony, in community, and also support each other in the times that are coming. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah. Great reminders. Thank you. Senator Knish, your thoughts?
Well, at this time in Minnesota, women have the right to their reproductive choices, This is going to change for, as we said, those in our neighboring states. And I just want to assure folks in Minnesota and across the nation that we Democrats in Minnesota are dedicated, are really going to work hard to ensure that those rights don't change in Minnesota. And so we still will allow people to move freely between state borders. We will do our best to support them when they come to us for help. But we need the help of everybody that's listening. If you find a way to support organizations like Marissa's, if you find ways to support clinics, underfunded clinics such as Dr. Stately's, if you know of somebody who's struggling with the issue of not having the resources that they need to live the life that they choose in a good way, please look to the other person, look to your neighbor, look to those around you who are in need, because it's not just the COVID, it's not just the mental health issues, it's not the physical health issues, it's everything that's being piled on top of each and every one of us. And, you know, in our legislatures, as you know, in Minnesota, we're going to work very hard to continue those. I know President Biden and the Vice President Harris are also going to do everything that they can ensure those human rights, those civil rights are not violated in any way, shape, or form. But we can't become complacent. We can't just think, well, it's just this, it's just that, they'll fix it, they'll be able to do that. We won't be able to do that if we have those folks that would do this sort of thing in the majority of our Supreme Courts, our attorney generals, in the decision-making seats in our state government and our federal government. And so please be aware, read up on the information, stay vigilant, and find ways that you can support those in your community who are already in need and those that may down the road be looking for that extra help.
Hear, hear. Thank you so much, Chimi Gwich, for you both joining us. When I woke up this morning, this was the piece of news that was on my iPhone when I first woke up, and it colored my entire day.
Yeah.
I instantaneously, like, I felt anxious. My heart was beating and fast, and I was like, oh my God, the fight is real, and here it is right on our doorstep today. So, yeah, let's do all of that. Encourage your relatives and anybody you who is over 18 and can vote to get out to the polls and vote and do what we can to sort of stop this. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Native Roots Radio. This is Ogamugginewakwe. Join us again on Monday. Check us out on Saturday on AM 950 for our best of. And tune in next time. We are the resistance. And you need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office.